Welcome to Layer by Layer, our UBS AI podcast, where we explore the fascinating and evolving world of artificial intelligence, how it's transforming industries, redefining what's possible, and reshaping the future. Join us as we deep dive into the minds of visionary creators and thought leaders at the cutting edge of AI. I'm Ulrike Hoffmann-Borchardi, CIO for Global Equities at UBS. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Arvind Jain, CEO and co-founder of Glean. As the leader of Glean, Arvind is transforming the way we search, connect, and work. Arvind brings a wealth of experience from his time at Google, where he made groundbreaking innovations in search and infrastructure, and as the co-founder of Rubrik, a pioneer in data management and cloud solutions. Today, we'll dive into the vision behind Glean, Arvind's thought on the future of AI and workplace productivity. Arvind, thank you so much for joining us on our first episode of Layer by Layer. Let's get started. To kick it off, what problem does Glean solve?
Glean makes it easy for people to find information at work. Whenever you have any questions that you need answers for, and the answers are somewhere in your company's data and knowledge, but it's hard for you to find where exactly it is, that's the thing that Glean makes it easy. You can think of us like Google or ChatGPT inside your enterprise, one place where you go and ask any questions, and we'll find the right information and bring the right answers to you very quickly.
What I find interesting is that you founded Glean exactly 2 years after the Transformer model was published in 2017. So to what extent were large language models the so-called prompt for what you wanted to build?
The language models actually played a big role in what motivated us to start Glean. In 2018, when we started to think about this idea, we saw the real transformative power of these transformer-based models, in the search teams at Google, which is where I and most of our initial team came from. We were seeing how good these models were at understanding information. And in 2018, Google actually put some of these models trained on the entire web in open domain for companies like ours to use. And so that was one of the key catalysts for us starting Glean, because we felt that, using these models, we could very deeply understand enterprise information and data and build a really good search engine using that.
So it seems like you used Gen AI and the tools that Google offered at the time to reinvent enterprise search. Is that the right way to think about what the value proposition is with which you started Glean?
Yes, you can think of it that way. Search as a problem hasn't been solved in the enterprise. Like when we started, we had never seen any good search product in the enterprise, and there were quite a few reasons for why it was so hard to build search over your enterprise information. One of the things was made easier by these new transformer-based models, because they allowed you to understand content more semantically. But there were a few other factors, which were also important for us when we started, especially, the SaaS transformation that the industry went through, that not only made the problem more acute for customers, but it also actually made it easy for us to tap into all of that data and knowledge that sits within those individual SaaS products, and made it easier for us to build a turnkey search experience. But today, you can think of Glean exactly, a modern search and AI platform where we actually go very deep into your enterprise, build this knowledge graph, which essentially is a understanding of how people work together inside an enterprise and how they work with the knowledge inside your enterprise, and then combining it with a RAG style architecture and generation capabilities of language models, as well as reasoning capabilities of these models, you're able to actually go and create an experience which goes well beyond like the traditional search where you will type in a few keywords and, you know, some you will surface some information, like some documents back to you. Today, like, you know, you can go much further where you can converse with the system, you can ask questions in natural language, and we will not only find the right, you know, documents that actually will answer those questions, but then we'll have AI work on it and actually generate, you know, concise, you know, answers to those questions that you have. So it's a much more, like, much more powerful and modern experience of search inside the enterprise.
So you mentioned a few portions of the stack where you use large language models, it seems, you know, building a knowledge graph and RAG, and then also the conversational interface that helps with answering a query. If you maybe step back and say, what areas of the enterprise stack that you built do you use large language models, and what capabilities, retrieval and also generation?
So first thing, like, you know, when you think about an enterprise knowledge, every company has their unique sort of jargon, their language. You have code words, you know, there are like lot of things, you know, which are specific to, like, you know, how your company works. So one of the things that language models help a lot with is, you know, you can train, when you train models on your enterprise data, it starts to sort of understand, you know, your speak, your language, you know, it starts to figure out, like, you know, what are the key concepts, projects, you know, entities within your business. And that understanding allows us to then, like, match content, you know, at a conceptual and semantic level to questions that you have. So that's one area where this language model technology comes out to be very helpful, is in building a strong retrieval system, which is more semantic, more conceptual. And then the other thing that the models do a really good job at is when you have complex questions, they have the ability to read large amounts of knowledge and actually reason through that, like, that knowledge and figure out, like, you know, how to answer those questions for you. So this sort of enhances, you know, the end user experience for our users, because, you know, when they have questions, sometimes, you know, they don't want to go and read those long documents and they want a quick, short answer. And the models have a really good capability of generating and synthesizing those responses. So that's just a simple thing, like, you know, when you're actually doing question answering using Glean. But Glean actually does, you know, goes well beyond those capabilities now. Like, you can actually ask Glean to do work for you. You can ask it to analyze content. You can ask it to generate reports. And all of those capabilities also, again, you know, is where we are putting together your enterprise knowledge along with the capabilities of the models, right? So what we're doing is, if you want to sort of analyze some data, you know, the first our retrieval stack will actually, you know, figure out, you know, where that data is, and then you can actually use the model to actually, you know, write code on the fly and do complex analysis on that data. So ultimately, like, you know, these models allow you to, like, really extend the capabilities of what, you know, what a user can do with the product. Like, it goes beyond question answering to, like, you know, doing actual work, you know, where AI is sort of helping you do a lot of your work for you now.
So Arvind, it seems like you're moving from enterprise search into creating a broader workplace AI platform. And as you're moving, as you're transitioning towards creating these autonomous agents, is it right to think that you're sort of moving for more the retrieval aspects of large language models and their capability to also leverage the generative abilities and especially, of course, agentic reasoning, which seems to be talk of town these days when you think about abilities of large language models?
That's correct. In fact, you can think of Glean in many ways, like, you know, it's like ChatGPT. You come in, you ask it to do some work. And depending on, like, what kind of work you want Glean to do, it's going to actually, like, first, of course, like, you know, tap into all of your internal private company's data and knowledge in a safe and secure way, but also tap into the world's knowledge, like, if you need to do that. And then it goes and starts to solve those tasks for you. Sometimes, you know, it's question answering. Sometimes it's, you know, taking a complex task and figuring out how it's going to actually go and solve that task in a more agentic fashion, where you will take a complex task, you'll figure out, like, you know, how to break it down into a series of steps again, using these, language model technology. And then you'll execute each one of those tasks. You'll actually bring some sort of self, reasoning and auto-correction as you sort of work through that task. So absolutely, the product has evolved from, again, that core capabilities of helping you finding information to bringing you answers to actually doing work for you.
And how quickly do you see we will see these autonomous agents? I'm sure for some smaller tasks that's already happening. Is this what will be, again, the main focus of investments and R&D going forward?
Yes. So I think we will see a lot of progress on building, AI agents that are, that are going to automate a lot of our business processes. Although in terms of how these agents are built, there are two different concepts. One where, let's say that I'm a business process owner and I want to automate, a complex, business process that I have. And so I can work with AI and I can sort of describe to AI that, hey, this is how I actually work on this task. These are all the different things I do. And you can sort of put in that investment and help the AI, system actually build that agent based on that guidance that you're giving it. And you sort of collaborate with it in terms of, getting that agent built. And then once you have this agent built, then it can actually run that business process autonomously, like every week, for example, if, that's how often, that work had to be done. And so that's sort of one approach. And we think, that's the right approach. Like right now that actually works, well, as long as there's a human in the loop that actually, puts, full effort into building that agent, without, of course, writing any lines of code. And then from there, the other extreme is where you just have a task and you don't help AI in any way. And you make AI sort of learn and figure out automatically everything on its own. And there we see a lot of challenges today. We've not seen good results where you give open-ended tasks to AI and hope that, that you're able to sort of autonomously create an agent. So agent creation, we feel like it's good to have humans in the loop for that. And then once the agents are built, I think for a lot of use cases, you can let them operate, completely independently.
Yeah, so we've talked now conceptually quite a bit, but obviously you have a lot of fans in your user base, not least the CEO of the largest U.S. company, AI company or U.S. company, Jensen Huang. So I'm curious, what is the ROI that your customers are seeing by using Glean? And what are some of the tangible outcomes your customers have achieved with Glean?
In terms of ROI, so number one, AI is all about efficiency. And we have done a lot of surveys. Our customers have done a lot of surveys, that show that, we typically save about 2 to 3 hours of time every week across, your entire employee base. That's one of the things. So, it's time savings because a lot of times you're looking for things, a lot of time you're trying to actually get, quick answers to your questions or trying to actually find, who you can connect with in the enterprise, who can help you on the task that you're on. And all of those things become much faster with Glean. So there's a sense of, significant time savings. And for specific teams, engineering or, support, those time savings are actually, even much, much greater than that. So that's one thing. So there is, these time savings, which ultimately some companies, feel comfortable, using that as a metric to figure out, what's the return on investment of Glean for them. But time savings sometimes, can be a soft metric because, you don't know, what happened, with the time that you saved. So you have to look at the next level of metrics. And so, function by function, that's what, our customers do today. They look at, the hard metrics, business metrics that they have for that function and see how we're impacting them. So as an example, one of the largest telcos in the U.S., they have more than 50,000 customer care agents using Glean every day to help, with answering questions, that their customers have, help resolve tickets. And Gene has shown 47% improvement in, you know, that case resolution time across teams there. And that's like, you know, that then directly translates into millions of dollars of like, you know, hard savings, because like, you know, when you think about large customer care organization, if you're able to, you know, resolve twice as many cases, you know, that directly impacts like, you know, what your cost is going to be, because you can reduce your overall cost of, or your headcount plans, you know, by half, right? So you can like, you know, function by function, like for engineering, you can see like, you know, are you writing more lines of code, or, you know, more commits, you know, that are your teams are uploading. So when you go into specific functions, you can look at those existing metrics and see the movement, and our customers are seeing, you know, pretty significant movement, you know, on those metrics. Same for sales, like you can actually prospect more, you can actually be more effective, close more deals. So yeah, so there are all these metrics, you know, across different functions that, you know, that we've seen our customers see real value from Glean, and that's why they're deploying the product company-wide. It has gone well beyond, you know, the POC stage.
You mentioned these different sources of productivity improvements. So when you look at one of the superpowers of Gen AI, it's certainly writing code. And there's a lot of evidence, data that shows that we see their productivity improvements of 56%. I think this is one of the numbers that is mentioned in a recent study. Do you think that is going to also be true for other use cases that we see? Really, what is an unprecedented level of productivity enhancement going forward?
I think we're going to see more and more impact from AI on our day-to-day work. Productivity increases like today, like in pockets, you can have that level of improvements. But overall, like, you know, we're in very, very early stages of the journey of how much impact AI is having in the enterprise. But if you go, like, just look back, if you sort of think about what's going to happen in the next 5 years, I believe that the way we work is going to fundamentally change. In fact, I feel that, like you know, majority of our work in the future, you know, is going to be done by these AI agents and assistants that every employee will have, you know, personal agents and assistants, that you have. It doesn't matter, like, you know, who you are, like, in terms of, like, you know, today, like, you know, you have the senior executives in the company have some level of assistance available to them in forms of, like, you know, EAs or chief of staffs. But in the future, like, everybody who works will have amazing assistance available, you know, through this, you know, concept of an AI team that you have as an individual. And I think most of your work is going to be done by, you know, these AI agents, and you'll be able to up-level, you'll be able to, you know, like, you know, be, you know, twice as more efficient, or even 10x as more efficient than what you are today. Most of the work that you're okay doing today, you won't be anymore, like, in 5 years from now.
And I'm just curious, how do you use AI internally? Do you use a lot of these agents already inside Glean?
Yeah, so we actually, first of all, of course, we use Glean very heavily inside Glean. Everybody uses it to search for information, ask questions, get, like, you know, basic tasks completed, you know, within Glean. We also use some other third-party AI tools, like specifically our engineering teams, you know, they use GitHub Copilot, like, for coding assistance. And then, like, you know, our team, every department within Glean has built, you know, specific prompts and applications for their own department on top of the Glean AI platform. For example, I'll give you some examples. For our sales team, you know, there's one of our sales, in fact, there's, you know, one of our sellers, like, he's not a programmer. He went and built a customer 360 application on Glean. It's you know, like, you know, you can just, you know, like, you go to that application, you know, give it a name of a customer, and you get this really comprehensive view on that customer, including, like, you know, what opportunities are open, who's working on that, any issues, you know, that this customer has reported, What are some of the recent discussions? Like, you get this, you know, very comprehensive, you know, view of, like, you know, the state of what that customer is. There's, you know, there's another application which helps you write a really nice follow-up email post, post, you know, having a customer meeting. The engineering teams, you know, they have built interesting applications. Like, one of the really cool ones is that every time somebody uploads any new code into our code repo, we have an AI agent built on top of the clean platform that actually does the first review of that code and finds mistakes and errors and issues in it. And that way, like, you know, we're ensuring that, you know, we're uploading, you know, like, our code quality remains high. So yes, there is a, it's actually very interesting that once you start to actually, you know, give this capability of like building applications to people who don't have to actually code and deal with, like, you know, clunky sort of system integrations, it sort of really accelerates, you know, like, how many things you can automate in the business with it. So, but I will also note one more thing, that while, like, you know, we are having good success with people building a lot of applications and workflows that they're automating with AI, it takes a lot of effort to actually get that going inside a company. You have to have evangelists, you have to have a program, you have to push, like, you know, one of the things that I did, even though we are a AI native company, you know, initially, like, you know, we were not, like, besides using Clean, we were not actually being very active in terms of automating a lot of our business processes. So you had to do a push, you had to set quarterly goals, you know, for our executive team to actually, you know, get that process going. But once it got going, we started to see really good results from it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You need not only the technology, but also the technology mindset. We do believe that as well, that that's going to be the differentiator, the combination of the two. One question I had for you is just on moat. Given that AI is so capable, especially in coding, how do you define your moat? And in particular, maybe how do you think about competition? Because it was interesting that OpenAI quoted you among its top competitors. I'm curious, who do you see from your perspective as your main competitors?
That's a good question. So first of all, like, you know, our approach is to not think so much about competition, but, like, think more about our users and what value we need to deliver to them. And I feel like, you know, we are very, very far from, like, you know, bringing to the users the kind of, you know, product experiences and technology that can be built with today's technology. So, like, there's a lot of work for us to do. We think, you know, we are well ahead of any other player when it comes, you know, to this domain, which is, like, you know, again, like, thinking of Lean as being that, you know, that ChatGPT inside your company, like, you know, one place, you know, where you can get all kinds of assistance, you know, from AI. If you look at that market, I think, again, like, you know, I think today, like, you know, it may be the case that, you know, we're helping you with, you know, with about 10% of your work, we're helping you automate that. I think you have to take that 10% to 90% over the next few years. So there's a lot of work that we have to do, is what I'm trying to say. So, and I think, like, you know, like, the our mindset in general is to look forward, not, like, not sideways, not behind. So that's number one. Like, you know, I would say, like, you know, from a point of view of, like, you know, how we execute, like, you know, we are thinking user first, not competition first. In terms of moat, like, again, I feel like when you build products, like you don't think about, like, you know, how you protect your advantage. At least that's not how I think. You know, like, there is, like, I think technology, building any technology is hard. It takes a lot of time. And I think that's the opportunity that we see. Like, you know, we built a lot of technology over the last 6 years, which is, which are things like, you know, building these really deep integrations with all of your enterprise systems, understanding, you know, content and knowledge within those, understanding, you know, these complex permissioning and, you know, governance architecture that you have on all of your enterprise knowledge, and then being able to use all of that to deliver a safe and secure AI experience inside your company. That's, you know, like, all of those things, you know, take a lot of time to build. And I think that will serve as, you know, that time advantage for us. It's not something that, like, we can use that and forever, you know, feel safe because we've built it. Of course, other people will also build it over time. You just have to stay ahead. And that's, like, one of the things where we are multiple years ahead of, you know, competition. The second area is around actual search, because if you think about making AI work in the enterprise, all of these AI models are, they're not trained on your enterprise knowledge. You know, they have really good reasoning capabilities, and they have, you know, they obviously also know, they have general intelligence based on all of the world's knowledge. But to actually make them work in your enterprise, you have to somehow combine your enterprise data with the power of these models. And one of the core ways you do that is using search. And search is very hard, because if you don't, like, you know, given any task or question, if you don't pick the right information, you're going to actually give the wrong data to the AI model. And of course, it's going to actually, you know, give you back the wrong answer. You know, if you don't give it the right things, you know, as input, you know, the output is not going to be great. And that's another big advantage of Glean, is that we have built a really powerful search experience. We deeply understand your company's knowledge. We understand what information is authoritative, high quality, written by subject matter experts. So this, you know, the knowledge graph that we've built, you know, where we understand your people and your data, that's another thing, you know, which has taken us a lot of time to sort of mature and build, and we feel is going to serve as a as an advantage for us. But coming back, like, you know, all of these things, you know, like, you know, that's how the technology world works. Like, you know, you build, you know, you build things first, other people will, you know, follow fast on that. And for you to stay relevant, for you to, like, add value to your customers, you just have to keep thinking, you know, keep that focus on the customers and figure out, like, you know, what are the next things we need to do. I was talking about this concept of, like, you know, we want every individual, you know, in any company, you know, to have a really amazing AI team around them. It's a team of assistants, companions, coworkers, and coaches, you know, that actually not only do 90% of your work for you, they're actually proactive in terms of how they help you. They actually get, you know, make you better at the things that you do, like, you know, by, you know, coaching you, like, you know, on things that you've been, that you do. So like, to sort of build that AI team, you know, there's so much more work, you know, that we need to do on that. So I think that's sort of what we feel is the opportunity for us, is that, like, you know, there are amazing opportunities to transform, like, you know, people's work and work lives. And I think, you know, by staying focused on innovation and, you know, keeping up the speed, like, you know, we hope to win that way. Not because, you know, we have created some moat.
Yeah, it makes sense. And when you said, you know, staying ahead is key, it was interesting that OpenAI just announced Model Context Protocol. So it seems like that is another explanation for why they cited US competition.
Yeah, I mean, I think we feel that, you know, we partner with, you know, with them and with many other companies. I mean, our philosophy at Glean is to actually leverage all the great work that, like, you know, that companies are building, and then, like, you know, do the work, you know, that others are not focused on doing. So that's how you sort of add value. That's our core mantra. So we actually, in fact, you know, OpenAI, you know, their models are one of the, you know, the key model technology that we use, you know, in our product. So that's, like, and that's our view on them, you know, as well as, like, you know, any other model company, any other cloud provider. Like, we get to use amazing innovations that they make and bring it to our customers.
I just found your comment really interesting on agents and how they may evolve. Do you think ultimately the agents will be tied to individuals or to an enterprise? And could that model change over time? Because, like you said, different people have different skills and need different things. So to what extent is that model going to be specific to a person and maybe owned by a person, subscribed by a person versus an enterprise? There's certainly two parts of data that's going to be relevant over time.
So you're absolutely right. Like, you know, there are going to be AI agents which are automating, you know, certain business processes, as an example, inside your company. And then there is this concept of a personal agent, you know, that is yours, like, as an individual. It really understands you deeply, you know, your work life, your goals, like, what you need to do this week. And this personal agent is the one that proactively helps you with your work. And so, yeah, so we see these as two different things. Our focus We want to actually, of course, you know, contribute to both of them. But a big part of, like, you know, what we're doing is, you know, building that personal agent or a personal AI team around every individual at work.
Very clear. And Arvind, let's close it off with your thoughts on some of the key AI debates. So first of all, the limits of scaling laws. What are your thoughts on that? Does every next generation of model require 10x more compute to achieve similar improvements going forward?
So the way this technology is headed right now is that, first of all, whether you need or don't need, the way people are training models is following that scaling law, which is they're actually, you know, trying to see what is possible if you actually increased, you know, everything 10x. And you're going to see, like, you know, how much impact it's going to have, what kind of, you know, additional intelligence capabilities, you know, these models will develop if you were to actually go and, you know, increase the amount of resources available to them 10x. So that's the model. So first of all, like, that's actually a desire. Like, people want to actually train larger and larger models. But there's also this thing that, like, you know, ultimately the improvements is not just coming from scaling. There's also, like, you know, real technology development around, like, you know, which is sort of complementary to the core model development. You have to use, you know, a variety of different techniques, you know, outside of the model, on the periphery, to sort of, you know, bring a lot more improvements, and which is sort of in addition and stacks up on top of, like, you know, the core capabilities of the model. Even if you think about Glean, like, Glean is a compound AI system. Like, you know, models is actually only one part of our product. And by, you know, doing a lot of additional work around, like, you know, like, figuring out how to use these models effectively, we're able to solve, you know, business problems in a more intelligent fashion. So yes, overall, I think we will keep seeing that, like, you know, the next generation of these models will keep using in an order of magnitude amount of resources. And probably, like, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll get, like, you know, the returns in, like, you know, intelligence as you know, as part of that scaling too.
And then secondly, main drivers of compute costs going forward. We talked about agentic reasoning, time scale inferencing. Where do you see a training? Which of the vectors is going to be most important for increasing compute?
Yeah, I feel that in the future, more of the compute costs are, going to be on the inferencing side. I hope, you know, that's actually important because I think we want to make sure that AI is having a big impact. And so, like, training models, like, you know, that's costly, that takes a lot of resources. But once it's trained, you want to make sure that it's used much more widely, you know, in our day-to-day work and our lives, you know, than what it is today. Like, AI has to play a bigger role. And so, therefore, from that perspective, you know, I feel that, you know, without any doubt that over time, like, most of the compute costs are going to be, you know, on inferencing side, and that ratio is just going to keep, you know, getting more and more skewed.
Makes sense. And then do you think we're going to see emergent superintelligence, or is it ultimately something that's going to be constructed in some shape or form?
That's something that I don't feel qualified enough to actually comment on that. I think the way we think about, like, AI is that, like, even today, these models that we have are, like, in some ways you can say they're limited in terms of their intelligence and what they can really do. Like, they're also not consistent. They can make mistakes. But the technology that's available to us today itself is so powerful, and we're not even scratching the surface in terms of actually utilizing, you know, this power today, you know, to bring improvements to, like, you know, our products and business processes. So I feel like, you know, like, the thing that I'm most excited about is that even if you don't see, you know, any big, you know, advances in the level of intelligence of these models, which is not going to be the case, by the way, but even if that were the case, like, we got another 10 years of, like, figuring out how to actually use this amazing power of the models to build very meaningful products and I think, like, you know, increasing the impact of AI overall, you know, in businesses and in our world.
Great. This was an awesome ending.
Thank you so much.
To our listeners and clients, thank you for your time and engagement.
If you have enjoyed this episode, you may subscribe to UBS Market Moves, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify for additional content. Until next time, where again we decode the future of AI layer by layer.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliates. The views and opinions expressed in this material by external guest speakers are those of the author, speaker, and are not those of UBS, its subsidiaries, or affiliates. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over the content of this material or any claims, losses, or damages arising from the use or reliance of all or any part thereof. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient, and is published for informational purposes only. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.